Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 17. Listen for the word of the Lord. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this, "O God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income." Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, "God, give mercy, forgive me, a sinner." Jesus commented, "This tax man, not the other, went home and made right with God." If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. People brought babies to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. When the disciples saw it, they shooed them off. Jesus called them back. "Let these children alone. Don't get between them and me. These children are the kingdom's pride and joy." Mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. These are the words of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're grateful for your word, and we ask that you send your Holy Spirit so that these minds might be able to think, that these eyes might be able to see, that these ears might be unstopped, and that these hearts might be softened so that they might believe. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand straight up. My father uttered those words calmly, yet forcefully to me in the sanctuary of the church that I grew up. We were practicing for a music program that involved all the choirs in our church, the adults, the high schoolers, the middle schoolers, and the children's choir, which I was in at the time. And I was probably a little bored or fatigued, and therefore was leaning heavily and comfortably on the communion railing our children's choir was standing in front of. Now, my father saw this, and he came the whole way down from the tenor section of the choir loft to gently yet firmly reprimand me. "Stand straight up." That was a very common exhortation in our household growing up. I and my sisters simply were never allowed to slouch, whether standing or sitting. Our parents demanded that we have good posture. No stooping, no shoulders hunched forward, but chin up and back straight. Now, we know that health and posture are somewhat related, that how we sit or stand can have impact on the well-being of our body. But I think my parents were sticklers for it because they believed it reflected and revealed something of a person's inner disposition. Posture was body language. And my posture that day in the sanctuary of the church, with me leaning against the communion railing, was probably saying, "I really don't want to be here." And so my father's exhortation to stand up straight was likely him saying, "Act like you want to be here." Posture. Body language. Does it really matter? Surprisingly, Jesus unequivocally says yes to that question in our passage here this morning. And it's not for nothing that he speaks of it at this particular time in his ministry. He gives you and me instructions in posture right before he passes through Jericho on his way up to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. What is to be our posture as we are witnesses to the events that we will celebrate this week? The events that have changed everything. What is the appropriate body language we are to exercise as Jesus lives the last week of his life that culminates with his crucifixion? And if our posture reflects something of our inner disposition, more plainly, if our posture reflects what's in our hearts. What should our hearts be like this week? I remember as a child that I was often given a palm branch on Palm Sunday. And as we, as a children's choir in our little white half robes, would parade into the sanctuary, waving them back and forth to hail King Jesus, just like those folk did as the Lord rode a donkey into Jerusalem so long ago. I remember it felt like a parade, strolling proudly with my palm branch waving, and the adults watched as we all came in. And the posture came naturally. Shoulders back, chin up, smiling. It felt triumphant. It felt special. And as a child, I should have felt that way. After all, we've heard Jesus say this morning, "Let the children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." There's the right kind of pride in being in the parade of Jesus Christ. The only problem is that we don't remain children. We grow up. And the delight in being called to surround Jesus and be near him as a child, the innocence gives way to the realities of adult life. We become more competitive. We become more comparative. We become more evaluative, more aware of how do I stack up against my neighbor? What will our posture become as we become wise about the world, wise about our neighbor, and wise about ourselves? Jesus is talking to you and me this morning when he tells the parable to those who believe themselves as righteous and were therefore contemptuous of others. He's talking to people on the inside of the walls, and he's talking to them and to us about our posture. What should it be? The Pharisee in the parable is grateful that the life of faith has made everything peachy keen. "God, I thank you that I'm not as the rest of men, snatchers, rogues, adulterers, those who sell their soul to feed their children like this tax collector over here. I'm grateful I can fast. I'm grateful I can tithe. I'm grateful that this wonderful economy allows me to do that." The Pharisee, as we have heard from his prayer, doesn't ask God for anything. The life of faith has rewarded him, and so therefore he's not entangled by the sins that might encumber him, and therefore this is his posture. He stands there all by himself in the front. Back erect, chin up, shoulders pulled back. According to his body language, everything is fine as long as he's not contaminated by the pollution of people who are not righteous like him. I got to be honest with you. Got to be honest with myself. American Christianity in large believes this lie. That the life of faith is the good life. That our God is a rewarder of those who manage their belief in effective and positive fashion like this Pharisee does. And that it is the faith that is filled with pride. It stands upright because it's not like the rest and it does its religious things. See, this is what happens when faith and the American dream end up getting mixed. The Pharisee is talking to God but is really preoccupied with himself. And that might be our problem too. Preoccupation with ourselves. The tax collector, on the other hand, has no awareness of anyone else present in the temple. He's not playing this comparison game like the Pharisee does. The Pharisee who says, "Thank you, God, that I'm a winner and not a loser." The tax collector, on the other hand, is having a real encounter with God. He stands far away and doesn't even lift his eyes. The love of God has undone him and has found him out. It's not for nothing that perhaps the most basic posture of prayer that we can ever have is when we fall to our knees. Is when we have our heads down, we can't even look up. Because that's the posture that says, God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of mercy. I need something from you that I can't provide for myself. Sisters and brothers, the question that we want to ask on this Palm Sunday, where there are parades going on in churches all across the world, the question is, what is the source of the pride of those parades? This is where we as adults, we need to look at the children. We need to look at what Jesus has said here. We as adults will tend to think, okay, we need to manage this parade in the right kind of way. We need to make sure that we're doing church right. We've got to make sure that we're doing worship right. We've got to make sure that we have things managed. We've got to make sure that things don't get out of control, that they're not chaotic. We've got to make sure that it's the right kind of people in the parade, not the wrong kind of people in the parade. Yeah. Those are the disciples of all people, the followers of Jesus, that are saying, wait a minute, get those children out of here. Jesus says, let those children be up front. And you adults, pay attention to them. They're getting what's going on in this parade. Their posture is the right posture as they march. The children are marching. Why? Because it's Jesus Christ out in the front. They're near him. The adults, on the other hand, we might be looking at how does our uniform look to the rest of the world out there. We might be like this Pharisee looking at the tax collectors. Man, I'm sure glad I'm in this parade. Too bad for those people that are standing over there on the street. Sisters and brothers, this Holy Week, as we start our parade, may we do it in a fashion where, like the kids, we're looking at Jesus Christ. And that we're taking our posture and our cue from him. That we know that the boast and the pride that we have is never in ourselves. But as the Apostle Paul would say, if I boast in anything, I boast in this. I boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, which says to you and to me, you guys are in need of everything. And it is my pleasure to give it to you. Sisters and brothers, may you have a blessed Holy Week. Amen.